All right, raise your Bible with me. The Word of God, the absolute truth, and final authority. Would you turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 44? We are going to cover 44 and 45. So I hope that you brought the lunch. Let's start. What constitute as heroes in the Bible? A great warrior? Or maybe the one who killed a giant? Or a man who could perform miracles? Or a man with a great theological mind who can write tremendously deep epistle? Or a man who prophesy the future? No one who does a serious study of Joseph's life would deny that he was a great man of God. But he never accomplished any of the things that I mentioned previously. He was just a typical boy next door who grew up in a very troubled and dysfunctional family with four mothers and one father who was, okay, he loved Joseph. However, his brother hated him, literally hated him. So much so that he was sold to the Ishmaelite slave traders. So what made Joseph great? Why did God devote so much space, 13 chapters all, from chapter 37 to chapter 50? And you're thinking, preacher, you miscalculated. It's 14 chapters. No, I didn't miscalculate it, because chapter 38 is devoted to Judah. So why did he allocate the 13 chapters in book of Genesis? One reason is Joseph's attitude. How he responded in faith to difficult circumstances. His brothers, though, still haven't presented much evidence to show that they shared Joseph's perspective. But that will slowly change with a little help through Joseph from God. Let's stop and pray. Father, we come to you again, thanking you for your kindness in Christ Jesus. Father, we acknowledge who you are and what you are. You are the only one true God. And all the other things, idols, they are nothing more than idols. Father, in our heart, it's so easy for us to compete with you. Remind us, your grace is the only thing that sustains us. Your love is the one who keeps us going. You give us hope and mercy beyond measure. As we prepare our heart to hear from you through this man, Joseph, let us remember what kinds of grace we receive from you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, speak to us. Anoint our heart that we may hear from you. And anoint the one who speaks. And forgive his sins, for his sins are many. Father, we also pray for this against this coronavirus. Father, you willing remove this coronavirus from this world. I know through this many people are coming to know Christ as the Lord and Savior. At the same time, many people are dying and sick. Father, you willing, you will remove this according to your time. And we pray for the president and the politicians who are involved in this, the coronavirus. Father, give them wisdom. Give them courage. Give them to do what is right in your sight, not for their own benefit. And we pray for the healthcare workers who are in the front line, doctors and nurses and whoever in the hospital staff. Father, we are asking you to protect them, keep them going. And Father, we pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Another police officer is being killed. Comfort their family and their friends. Through this difficult time, they may come to know Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mikey, would you turn the fans on, please? Thank you. All right, chapter 44, verse 1. He commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with the food as much as they can carry. Put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest and his grain money. So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. When they had gone out of the city, were not yet far off, Joseph said to the steward, "Get up and follow the men. And when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil for good?'" Verse 5, "Is it not this one from which my Lord drinks and with which he indeed practiced divination? You have done evil in so doing." So he overtook them, and he spoke to them this same word. And they said to him, "Why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servant should do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever your servant it is found, let him die. We also will be my Lord's slaves." And he said, "Now also let it be according to your word. With whom it is found shall be my slaves, and you shall be blameless." Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. So he searched. He began with the oldest, and led off with the youngest. The cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house. He was still there. They fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to him, "What deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination?" Verse 16. Then Judah said, "What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slave, both we and he also with whom the cup was found." But he said, "Far be from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father." Stop there, please. The brothers left Egypt with a high spirit. You can tell. These guys packed up their donkeys and with them full of food, and they go home. And they have a Simeon, and they have a Benjamin. You know, their father's anxiety didn't come true, which is good. So they're all going home. However, Joseph is guided by the Holy Spirit, testing their heart of the brothers, and bringing them to the complete repentance. Some use the verse 5, the cup of divination, used as their biblical basis for the practicing divination. Did Joseph use a cup of divination? We know there are other sources say that ancient people did use the sacred cup as a divination device. So it is possible that Joseph did that. However, get this, guys. This is before the Ten Commandments, is it not? This is before the time of Moses. But so, in other words, it was not forbidden. Just like during the time of Adam and Eve, and afterward for a while, they had incest. But that's how God populated the earth. Until the time of Moses, when the Ten Commandments was given, the Lord gave them to no incest from then on. From then on, it's wrong. Until then, it was accepted by God. However, I don't think that this divination that Joseph did was a divination to the idol. It was seeking God's will with that. I hope that I made sense to you guys. According to Joseph's steward bargain in verse 10, only Benjamin would return to Egypt. But notice, guys, all 10 brothers returned offer any help and defense they could. This decision on their part speaks a volume about the change of their characters and taken place in the last two decades. On the surface, Joseph is testing his brothers, seeing if they would still try to save their own skin at any cost, including leaving the Benjamin in Egypt and going home, or if they would respond with concern and compassion for Benjamin. At the same time, he was also testing their love for their fathers. In Judah's mind, brothers were now destined to live the rest of their lives as a slave in Egypt because they sold Joseph 22 years before. These brothers were innocent in sin of stealing the cup. However, they are guilty of sin that is far greater. In the same way, we can pride ourselves because we are innocent of some of the sins or another. Yet we are guilty of far greater. You know, I'm sure you heard it when you talk to somebody about the Jesus Christ to the unbelievers. Well, I'm not a sinner because I didn't kill anybody like those criminals in prison. Yeah. Maybe you did not kill anybody physically like those people in prison wall, inside a prison wall. However, you are still a sinner. Am I making sense? When we are born with a sinful nature, number one, and we like to sin because our carnal nature drives us to sin. Let's go to verse 18 in chapter 44. Then Judah came near to him and said, "Oh my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh." Stop there. And we are going to skip to verse 19 through 32 because it is pretty much already mentioned at the Jacob's home. Verse 33. "Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father?" Stop there, please. I don't know if you know this gentleman, the scholar, biblical scholar. He's a great expositor. When you have a chance to read some of his book, you'll be blessed. His name is Donald Barnhouse. And he mentioned that Judah's plea here is the most loving address, most moving address, rather, by a man in all the Word of God. I agree with him. Because it was coming from his heart with love for his aging father and kid's brother. Now go to chapter 45, verse 1, please. "Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, 'Make everyone go out from me.' And no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Does my father still live?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence." Oh, I bet they are. Can you imagine? Probably their jaws dropped to the ground and they could not roll that back up. Overwhelmed by the proof that these are not the same brothers who sold him into the bondage years ago, and their hearts are right and repentance has done its work, Joseph finally feels that it's a time to disclose his true identity and embrace his family. Imagine the confusion of the brothers. First, this prime minister cleared the room shouting in Egyptian language. Cleared the room. Everybody left. And this guy's in panic. And they were thinking, "Oh, we are going to die here." what's going to happen with us? And he began to sobbing uncontrollably. The scene quickly deteriorated into the strange and uncomfortable ones. Have you been in the place where you walked in and there's a person and start to cry and you don't know what to say? You just stand there like, what do I do? That's the situation. But make it 10 times worse. They have a questioning eye full of fear. Will this Egyptian think we are harming their prime minister? Are they going to run into this room with a sword in their hands? They're wondering. No one dared to move or to say a word to this man of a great power who had frightened them and confused them since the day they came first time. They're even thinking that this man is going to kill all of them by himself. Eventually, the brothers can tell the prime minister wanted to say something. But who can understand? Remember, Joseph never spoke Hebrew word to them once. Always speaking to them through what? Interpreter. But the word that came out of Joseph's mouth was Hebrew language. He said, Ana Yosef. In other words, in Hebrew language, I am Joseph. And all the brothers understood. And at the same time, they wish they didn't. Outside of his brothers, no one but Joseph could possibly know the terrible truth of the selling. Before, the brothers feared Pharaoh. Now, their heart just evaporated in front of this announcement from this man. And he is the Joseph. And he is the one whom they sold to the slavery. Not only they were struck speechless with the terror. They were thinking Joseph is going to take the 22 years old revenge on them. And all they can think about is, we are so dead. The day is coming, folks, when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to make himself known to his brethren, the Jews. When he came first time, in fact, they delivered him up to be crucified. John chapter 1 verse 11 said he came to his own, yet and his own did not receive him. But when he comes second time, he will make himself known to his own people. Would you go to the Zechariah chapter 13, way in the back of the Old Testament, right before Malachi, Zechariah chapter 13, please. Verse 6. If you find verse 16 in chapter 13, you got the wrong book. Chapter 13, verse 6. And it says, and one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. House of my Jewish people friend. Okay. And go to chapter 12, verse 10. Right next to it. Christ will make himself known to his brethren, verse 10. And I will pour on the house of David and the inhabitant of Jerusalem spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look upon me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. You know, as we're going through this stay-at-home policies, many people, this is an unusual situation, right? This is not something we ever experienced. People are panicking. That's why they buy a bunch of toilet paper unless they are just full of it. Folks, can you imagine what would happen when the rapture happened? Millions of people are gone. And the things happening on the world, they have to justify somehow. Remember, contrary to some of the Bible theologians, they said, like Mark Hitchcock, he's a great man of God, but I disagree with him. He said that rapture will happen and the tribulation will start from some time later, not immediately. I disagree with him. When the rapture happened, that's the time I believe the Holy Spirit will step aside let not leaving the earth, he will step aside and let the world just do their own thing. No restraint. No restraint from the Christians. No restraint from the Holy Spirit himself. In other words, anything can go wrong will go wrong. Am I making sense? That means X-rated movie will be normal, considered PG or G rated. All the things that they're trying to, you are not supposed to do, are legal. Friend of mine who was a pastor, he passed away, bless his heart. This guy told us one time, his name is Pastor John Michael. He was a pastor of Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. He said Las Vegas has the lowest crime rate. And I looked at him like, what you been smoking, guy? And he said, the reason why crime rate is so low is that everything is permitted there. So there's no such a thing as a high crime rate. That will be the case, folks, when the rapture happens. Anything goes. And the wars will happen left and right. And they will kill each other. And that's the reason why God's judgment is pouring upon them. Verse 1. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near and they said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Notice that Joseph was not discarding what they did. Verse 5. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself, because you saw me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years of famine have been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve the posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives with a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father, and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me the lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen. You shall be near to me, and you, your children, your children's children, and your flock and your herd and all that you have. Verse 11, there I will provide for you the less you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin sees that is in my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you shall hurry, bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. After that, their brothers talked with him. Stop there again, please. Joseph knows that what they were thinking and how grieved and terrified they were. And he immediately tried to comfort them. Had we been Joseph, think with me, okay? Had we been Joseph, the first thing many of us would want to talk about is how wrong they were and what a difficult life and painful life he had to go through, but not Joseph. His first concern was compassion and grace to them. How is that possible? Think about it. After 22 years, you're stuck in the foreign land. And remember, first many years, he was a slave. And then he was a prisoner. How is that possible? Because God trained and molded the heart of Joseph into his. He said to be more like his God than himself in over 2 decades of long training. In addition to the showing compassion and grace to his brothers, Joseph also generously offered to share his benefit of the position God has bestowed to him. What a stunning scene of complete forgiveness. Joseph wasn't born with a godly attitude. It was something that he, like everyone else in this room, had to cultivate. Something we have to learn. Joseph did not diminish what the brothers did, as I mentioned. But he saw that God's purpose in it was greater than the evil of the brothers. Joseph was a victim of man, but God turned it around for his glory. None of that it was for loss. Would you go to the Romans chapter 8, please? Some of you guys, I knew he would go there. Okay, cool. So go. Go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Some people stop there. No, don't stop there. To those who are called according to his what? Purpose. Exactly. Very important. I don't know where you are now. Maybe you're going through the horrible, horrible situation. But God will use that situation to bring glory to himself and make you more like Jesus Christ, less like yourself. You see, true forgiveness is not ignoring or diminishing the evil that happened, but it is overcoming evil with the grace of God. Let me say one more time. True forgiveness is not ignoring or diminishing the evil that happened, but it is overcoming evil with the grace of God. Several years ago, Jewish rabbi, his name is Harold Kushner, he wrote a book that was New York Times bestseller for a year. The book title is When Bad Things Happen to the Good People. It sold 500,000 copies before it became a paperback. Whole point of his book is to say God is all-loving, but he's not all-powerful. He says God is good, but not sovereign. So when bad things happen to people, it is because the events are out of God's control. Yeah. Kushner advised his readers to learn to love God and forgive him despite his limitation. There is a great Greek word for that, right? You guys know this. Hogwash. Verse 16, please. Now, the report of it was heard of Pharaoh's house and saying that Joseph's brothers have come. And it pleased the Pharaoh and his servant well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brother, do this and load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan and bring your father and your household to come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded to do this. Take cart out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so. Joseph gave them the cart according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provision for the journey. He gave them all, gave to all of them, to each man, in change of garment, and to the Benjamin he gave 500 pieces of silver and 5 change of garment. And he sent his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and good for their father for the journey. So he sent his brother away, and they departed. And they said to him, see, what you do not become troubled along the way. You see, by the divine providence, Pharaoh not only endorsed Joseph's plan to bring his family back to Egypt, but also he graciously supplied the wagons that will speed the return of Joseph's aging father. Did you notice it says, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Why did Joseph advise his brothers, don't cause a problem? You know, as a pastor, I get to sit in the front row of this house or the place where they experienced the family death. Not very long after, if not right on top of it, soon as somebody passed away and they start to talk about money. Isn't that true? Who's going to get how much? If they don't have a will, that person does not have a will, then there will be a bickering. And it's a really, really ugly sight. When there's a sudden wealth comes, sometimes people greed take over. By the way, you do not trouble, note that word, trouble. And he was using Hebrew word ragez, which meaning to be agitated. It referred to the last stage before the fight breaks out. Though his brothers have repented and feel close to one another, Joseph knows that sudden wealth can do to a family. He also knew the awful power of jealousy firsthand. To return to Canaan with a cart from Egypt is like a cultural equivalent to the landing 747 jumbo jet in front of African village. You know what I'm saying? This fancy Egyptian, at that time, Egypt was a superpower, and they're coming with this fancy cart. Go to verse 25, please. Then Egypt went out of Egypt, came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father, and they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive. He is the governor. He's a governor over all the land of Egypt. Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, he saw the cart which Joseph had sent to carry him. Spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Then Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive, and I will go see him before I die." The hope Jacob had buried long ago now is resurrected. So Jacob and his family pull up their tent peg and move. And as they were leaving, if this was a movie, there would be background music. Willie Nelson's on the road again, right? The reunion of Jacob and Joseph is only one of the several mentioned in the Bible, each of the foreshadow of the greatest reunion of all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians is located right before 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 16. This is the rapture scene, folks. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and voice of an archangel with a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive remain shall caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Only Father knows that time. And time, that's from that moment, the festivities will begin. God sent his son, Jesus, to personally deliver the invitation to your name, with your name on it. Let me ask you this. Have you RSVP'd yet? Some say that your good deed must outweigh your bad deed. And some believe that you must belong to a certain denomination. Or some still said elaborate ritual will do the job. What does the Bible say? It says a simple thing. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. What does it mean, believe in the Lord Jesus? Does it mean just acknowledge his name? No. Receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. That's how you reserve the seat in the banquet table in heaven for the greatest family reunion of all time. And there won't be a bickering. If you have not RSVP'd by faith in Jesus Christ, it's still not too late. If you choose to ignore this invitation again, consider yourself have been warned. Bless you. I have two applications. Number one, true greatness of our godliness is not revealed in miraculous actions, but in our daily attitude and responses that have been shaped according to God's perspective and compassion. For it is of who we are that what we do will flow. So many of us strive to achieve one great accomplishment and sacrificing everything, the loved ones around us, and even ourselves in pursuit. We do all these things, but while starving the character and our soul. What is more important? Our soul, our character. The things we have will perish someday. People will forget you, but your soul is eternal life. Either you will spend your eternity in heaven or hell. Who make that choice? You? Nobody else. Second application. True forgiveness is not ignoring or diminishing the evil that happened, but overcoming evil with the grace of God. Amen? All right, let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Remind us, true forgiveness is not just pretending that nothing ever happened, but overcoming evil with your grace, so that they may see you, not us. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Remember, folks, keep your knees down, heads up. God bless.